What is TWS podcast episode? Whatever, who cares at this point?
Bar. The rant of the vindicated.
It's my podcast. And I do what I want to.
People, listen.
Word, is it still live?
It's not working for me, Rick. We gonna keep going.
I know I changed my voice at work.
Bars on the radio.
What is TWS podcast?
Once ready.
I feel like the end is
staring at my watch, and I'm feeling so new school.
Suicide attempts. How many tries to take?
Damn, they ain't ready.
This is
part two of the Steven episode, and basically we left off with seeing stuff without your spouses or how things work out, and coming to the realization that all of the dumb bullshit that we're arguing about is actually first world issues. They're not real issues. We know that they're not real issues. We're arguing about watching a movie together where somebody somewhere does not have dinner and a bed to sleep in, but at the same time, this is the hand we've been dealt, goddammit, so we're going to deal with it.
I'm just saying, this is what I'm saying, is that, really, who cares? Like, so the issue that I always had was that Tammy and I would try to watch stuff together, but she can't stay awake to finish anything. So I told you, like, we used to watch Monk. Monk was our show. We used to watch Monk.
Monk was dope as shit.
Dope as shit. But it got to the point that, because she would fall asleep on episodes so often,
she wouldn't remember.
So we were watching the same episode over and over again. Yeah. And then she thought I was a genius. She thought I was a genius because I could solve the crime, like, in the first 3 minutes of the show.
Like, happens with Renee. Like, she'll be like, are you sure we saw this episode? God damn it, you were up. We were watching it. You fell asleep for half, woke back up at the end of it, and it said play the next one. Happened 3 times in a row.
So if we got Monk on Netflix, going on Netflix, and Netflix goes to the next episode when the episode finishes.
I hate that, though.
You know, that's a rant. She falls asleep. I don't say, okay, I got to stop watching
because
she
though.
Fell asleep.
Wait, you committed. Broke the commitment.
Why does Netflix automatically go to the next fucking episode when you're sitting there? What if you don't want to watch the next one?
You can turn it off.
I think it's a setting, yeah.
I'm tired. I just hit the fucking off button on the TV and it keeps going. And then when I tune back in, it's like, next season, I'm like, I didn't watch those fucking five episodes.
You gotta go back and find exactly where you were.
And I never remember. I'm like, was it that one?
All right, yeah.
Yeah, I'm the one who falls asleep too, so I should shut my fucking mouth.
You can turn it on. I'm committed. I'm one of those people, I will be tired as fucking shit. If I'm vested in this show or this movie, I'm gonna watch it.
Yeah. Breaking Bad's our current show. Have you guys seen Breaking Bad?
Yeah, Breaking Bad is fucking
You've seen all
shit.
Of it? You've seen the entire
I think Tammy's seen the whole thing.
I haven't seen the whole thing.
Tammy finished Breaking Bad and I did.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't know.
Right
now,
it's good.
Right now, together we're watching Empire. Casual is a real good show on
I've
Hulu.
Heard of Casual? Yeah.
I'm powering my way through.
Oh, Casual.
I'm powering my way through season 3 of The Flash. So I'm halfway through. That's really fucking good. Then I got to go back and watch DC Legends of Tomorrow and Supergirl and Arrow because they're all interconnected. Blah 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 blah.
Oh, you're a superhero guy.
So we have shows that we watch together and shows that we watch independently of one another.
Mm-hmm.
What causes the fights is when she watches the together shows by her motherfucking self.
I don't know. I guess I have that problem where I don't care enough sometimes. Like,
that's fine.
I don't care.
That's probably the best.
I think sometimes Tammy may try to do things. Hey, and here's why I don't care, because I'm Bruce Banner. And when I go, Incredible Hulk, like, by the time I've been so angry, have you ever been so angry that you're doing something and, like, the anger actually has worn off, but you realize you're so far into what you're doing,
you gotta commit.
You can't back down now. It's not like I'm way up here looking at myself doing this crazy shit, but I'm like, if I stop now, I look even crazier. So now I gotta keep going. So I try not to get to that point.
Mm-hmm.
So I just tend to, like, not care about a lot. Like, y'all caught me in a care moment when we started talking about the Jordans.
Mm-hmm.
And I couldn't stop myself. Like, people were talking, and I'm like, I shouldn't say anything else. But fuck it, I got to say something else.
Because
I care. But I don't care about most things.
So we talked about Father's Day.
What
else? What
which
else
I don't
you guys
care
have
about.
To throw at me?
All right, well, should we?
All right, guys. Just a quick break to pay the bills. TT Charities, a.k.a. Tavares Taylor Charities, hosts and partners with a number of organizations and corporations to help improve literacy, combat poverty, and combat hunger and provide basic needs. Clothing, food drives, literacy programs for children, and adult empowerment are just a few of the things that they're involved in. If you want to donate, please check out ttcharities.org. If you're not able to donate, just give of your time or give a retweet. Anything is taken. We also shouting out RG Mode. RG Mode, the brand, is the brainchild of Miss Renee G. It focuses on every level of style, from fashion and trends to beauty and hair care, and even home decor, with a healthy dose of lifestyle tips and DIYs thrown in. Check out rgmode.com or youtube.com/C/RGModeTV. Last but not least, Rena's Cakeys. Cakeys are cake-like cookies that have the texture of cake with the shape and size of a cookie, and are topped with plenty of flavored icing. Rena also has cupcakes, pies, macarons, anything you need, she's got it. Check out renascakeys.com. That's R-I-N-A-S, Cakeys. Not going to spell it because you know how to spell cake. All right, back to your normal scheduled program.
Throw at me.
All right, well, should we do it? Should we
sweaty
get,
balls?
Should we? I think we should get into this.
They're delightful.
All right, so the thing we wanted to talk about.
Let's go controversy now.
Oh,
controversy.
Yeah. I'm a couple beers in, so throw it at me.
There was an episode of The View on, and on The View.
Oh, no.
On The View, they were talking about a domestic violence case. A man was being beat by his woman and finally said no more, and he struck her. He struck his wife back, and in striking his wife, he knocked her the fuck out. I'm laughing because of the craziness of the situation.
Yeah, you wish you had
not one, because
though.
I agree, but he knocked her the fuck out. So then the story became, not should men hit women, because I can comfortably say that we are all against that. We all can agree that men should not hit women.
The
question is, if a woman is hitting and threatening towards a man, should she do that, and should she expect retaliation? Should women be also taught to keep their hands to themselves and not hit? Should a man have the right to strike a female back if he is in fact struck and feels threatened? And once again, I'm not advocating for a man having the right to beat women. I'm simply advocating the right to defend yourself. And I'm speaking about the right, speaking about the fact that women should not hit men anyway.
Right, so that's why
no one should hit anyone.
That's why I feel like the way we phrase it sets it up to be wrong.
That's what I'm saying. It's like, I feel like I'm dancing on eggshells because to explain this, because in no way, shape, or form do I feel like it's okay for a man to hit a woman.
And this is where I think we should stop saying that. I think we should stop saying, in no way, shape, or form, is it okay for a man to hit a woman. I think
because there are always going to be circumstances.
I think we should stop saying that men should never hit women, and we should just start phrasing the argument,
no one should hit
anyone. One should hit anyone.
Yeah.
And if we just leave it at that, if we stop, because every time we say men shouldn't hit women, then that
it reinforces
that,
their reinforces frame
that,
of thought.
That there are circumstances in which a woman should be able to hit a man. Let's just say, blanket statement across the board for
no
everybody.
No one should hit anyone.
Nobody should hit anybody. And then we don't have to deal with this, you know, these gray areas and when is okay and when is not okay. Like, just nobody hit anybody.
Everybody keep your hands to yourself. I can agree with that.
And here's the thing.
In certain situations.
Bill Burr said it best.
If you're
best
with your lady, you don't want to keep your hands to yourself. That's kind of silly.
I still keep my hands. I mean, sometimes I like to watch. But anyway.
Whatever floats your boat.
Anyway, I think I always go back to comedians. I think comedians.
Bill Burr's hilarious.
I think comedians are amazing at taking these like complex issues and just framing them in a way where it makes complete sense. And I think one of the things Bill Burr said to me that I thought was one of the greatest statements he ever made.
He said it to you?
He said it to me directly.
Personally?
Yeah, he called me.
Holy shit. Bill Burr?
Bill Burr.
Fuck, Jared.
And,
sounds just like Bill Burr. All right, that's not it at all.
But he was like, women could benefit from living with the fear of being hit. Like men, men grow up.
You guys, I couldn't be further from you guys on this issue.
Men grow up with the fear of being. And what we were talking about earlier, like, so I don't hit Steven. I've been to the gym with Steven. I know Steven can lift.
Ooh.
I know that if I was to hit Steven, and if he decided to hit me back for whatever reason,
this is getting me some street cred.
It would probably not end up well for me. In the same vein, you know who else I wouldn't hit? I wouldn't hit Leila Ali. I didn't believe Leila Ali could beat the shit out of me. There's a lot of women I wouldn't hit for the fear of getting hit back. And the fact that we live in this society now where we've gone so far to protect people that we've created an expectation that bad things can't happen to you, people are putting themselves in situations that just aren't logically good situations for you. It's, if you're 4'3", and it's a, like the Ray Rice situation. I'm not, Ray Rice could say whatever he want to say about my mother, and I'd be like, man, you funny, dog. You a funny dude. Like, that's crazy that you right. think my mom's a
hoe. Or you just walk away.
Just, yeah, because I know that Ray Rice could beat the living shit out of me. And so I'm not going to... certain arguments I'm not going to have with Ray Rice. And I just think that, and that's me talking about another man. Like, that's not about whether you're a woman.
Whereas women are being raised totally different, and they're raised with the thought process that men shouldn't hit women, which is true. Men should not hit women. However, that is not always going to be 100%
shouldn't shoot people.
The case. But, exactly. It happens.
But it fucking happens.
You know what I'm saying? So it's like, yeah. You can't rely on the fact that chivalry will always 100% keep this person
because somebody
from
shouldn't
retaliating.
Do something doesn't mean that a magical barrier comes down to prevent yeah. them from doing it. So, if you,
so what's the point? That's what I'm missing.
My point is, if you walk around with the understanding that if I hit someone, anyone, that person, there's nothing to prevent that person from hitting me back, that may change your thought process in who you choose to hit.
Just and go to the gym, work out a lot, get really swollen, nobody's going to hit you. Is that how it works?
Or you
carry
just,
a gun,
or
maybe?
Learn to be respectful because you know that if... And even guys that I think I could beat, I think men know that the stakes are higher when it comes to fighting. Like... If you start a fight, it could escalate.
It's more of a shaming thing, though, isn't it? It's
you could escalate to a point that not just that you're embarrassed. Like if you hang around guys that have really been
actually been in a real fight,
or really been like what you would call gangster, or really been in a real fight, they're right. slow to fight. Like they don't want.
There's no reason to fight. Well, they know fight. They're confident and they know what they can.
They're
capable of.
But they also and they know they could. They don't want to hurt.
They know
there's
the
no
consequences.
Reason. There's no reason.
There's
to
no
hurt
reason to fight. They know the consequences. So people who really have.
That's why I'm saying this very slowly right now. I just want to let you know that there's no reason for me to hurt you.
Okay,
I'm
just
appreciate
putting
it out
that.
There.
But I'm never going to give you a reason to hurt me. Because I believe
in
that you
the same
could
breath, hurt. Because I'm going to go really slow about it. I'm going to give you the impression that I would never hurt
so
you.
So that reinforces the
I'm
point.
Just kidding.
Women,
it never hurts you.
A lot of women feel that they can go 0 to 100 and do whatever they want because there's this invisible veil protecting
not every woman.
Them.
But it's not
That's
every
why
woman,
I said, though. I didn't say every woman. I said a lot of women. It's a good percentage of women that feel that they can hit a man.
I don't know. I haven't seen the stats.
I've been hit. I've been hit.
But did you ever hit back?
I haven't hit
never
back.
Hit
back.
Good,
and
you guys
been
are
hit.
Good guys.
That's what I'm saying.
I was taught to never hit a lady. I had two sisters growing up.
But see, that's
and if I ever and I hit my sisters when I was a kid, you know, little stupid kid shit, and I had the fear of God.
But
put
do
into
you
me,
think that
my
you
father?
Were, do you think that you?
I think
were
it goes back to parenting.
Do you think that you were taught any differently than we were taught? Because we believed the same thing. We were all 99.
Well, these guys who are hitting women on that you see on these clips on TV and YouTube or whatever it is,
no,
they weren't taught.
A
that.
Lot of them are taught
goes
that.
Back
I
to
feel like 99.999% of men. Are told throughout their entire childhood and manhood, do not hit a woman.
Yeah.
Period. That is the common rhetoric. That is what's been placed out there into the universe. That is what's being told to everyone. The difference is women feel like just because men are taught this, it is now okay for me to hit you.
I just know if a woman came up to me today and hit me anywhere in my body, I wouldn't go back and strike her in retaliation because I know what I could do to her.
Right. But see, here's the difference.
And that's, it wouldn't feel
If
good.
A woman right now came up to you and smacked you, you wouldn't hit her.
I would walk away.
But if she didn't follow you and hit you again, and then again.
I would walk away.
And then again.
I would get
and then
I would,
again.
I would
and then again.
And I agree
I would
with,
figure out a way to get myself
out of the
completely
situation.
Out of the situation.
And sometimes you can't. You can't always
call,
get out of the
call
situation.
The, call,
sometimes
call
you're not emotionally
authorities.
Advanced enough to where you can walk away. Once again, I'm not saying that it should be okay for a man to hit a woman. I am saying a woman should also learn to keep her hands to herself.
But that's what I'm saying. So if we stop framing,
women
the
are
discussion,
very women are very emotional creatures.
If we stop,
men
framing,
are emotional too.
If we stop
that,
framing the discussion,
that denotes the fact that men cannot operate on emotion, which reinforces the fact
guys
that a man cannot have emotion, which reinforces the fact that. Men always have to be stern and still, and they cannot feel. And they have to be disconnected and stoic.
A guy needs to know his place and needs to know not to strike a woman, period.
Just like a woman needs to know her place and realize that she shouldn't strike a man.
Scientifically, men are physically stronger than women.
Physiologically, on average.
There's no doubt about that.
But is the
majority of men are stronger and bigger than women.
Ronda Rousey could whoop my monkey ass.
She's an anomaly. She's an exception.
Steven, let me ask you a question. Is this a scientific issue or a morality issue? Scientifically, yes.
Both, I guess.
Scientifically, yes. 99% of the chance.
Because there are plenty of strong women.
The majority of men, scientifically, and with their physicality, they're stronger than women. Uh-huh. However, morally, does that mean that a woman should strike a man knowing that...
No, I mean, nobody should hit anybody. There should be no physical contact.
That's the point that we're trying to get to.
In our Western society, nobody should hit anybody.
That's the point that I'm trying to push.
But if a woman strikes a man, the man should probably just try to walk away regardless of his size.
But that's the overarching issue.
To me, that's the problem. Because we keep framing the discussion in how women should act and how men should act, we are establishing that there should be some sort of a difference.
Everyone should walk away. Sure. It shouldn't get to the point
if
where
the same way,
it has to be, it has
but,
to be something.
But if a woman does hit you, honestly, walk away. These scenes that we see in the elevators with guys hitting their ladies and knocking them out, that's completely unacceptable, period.
Right.
There's case to justify that. I'm sorry.
No case to justify. I 100% agree with you.
And we're not justifying that at all.
But I 100% also agree that there's no case to justify that woman hitting it. If we just eliminate the gender from the discussion. I mean, I think we're trying to do it everywhere else.
If the guy was smart, he would let her do it. It's on camera.
Yeah.
Walk away. She's in the wrong. Period.
If the woman was smart, she wouldn't do it knowing how big he is.
There's a lot of dumb people out there.
That's what I'm saying.
So that's the point. But see, dumb people work on both ends. A woman can be dumb enough to hit a big ass dude, and a big ass dude can be dumb enough to hit a woman back.
Stupidity everyone should keep thinking no gender. Himself. You know, there's so dumb guys and dumb girls.
That's all I'm saying. Like, if everyone just looked at it, Steven wouldn't engage in a fight with me because Steven knows what he could do, and he doesn't want to hurt me that way.
I love this conversation.
I wouldn't engage in a fight with Steven because I know is that, you know, so if we're both looking at it that way,
we're not going to hit each other.
To your earlier point, even though you're not adversaries, men live with that fundamental fear because we are raised to size up our friends and our opponents.
That's true.
No matter how close we are, I'm going to size you up so that way I know when that day comes.
Yeah.
If, for instance, we had to fight over the last scrap of food, could I take Jared or Steven over this last scrap of food to protect my family?
Here's a great example. Here's a great example. Like, so Halloween, 6th Street.
That's a fucking mess, isn't it?
It's a mess. I'm out on 6th Street.
It's a fucking mess.
I'm out on 6th Street on Halloween with Tammy and I think KB Article was out there with her. So we're walking. Tammy doesn't like crowds, and she doesn't like getting bumped. You know, so when she gets bumped and stuff, like, she takes it personally and she's ready to fight. But she's ready to fight because she doesn't have the fear of getting hit. Like,
she's
ready to fight because she thinks she can turn. So we were walking and she's walking ahead of me and some guy is trying to show his friend where something is. And he flails his arm out to point and he hits her and she smacks his arm away. And immediately, and I'm sure there was no fear in her because she did it. She smacked his arm away. Like,
not at all. Because
fuck out of my way.
She knows he's not going to turn and hit her.
But at the same time,
you know that now you have to confront this guy on her behalf.
The fear that she should have had immediately went to me. And now I've got to size up the situation.
That's true.
And if we all just operated with the thought that you don't hit people, then the situation is null and void. We're not there.
This is the gospel according to Jared.
This is the gospel according to Flan. I'm just saying. I think that every time we phrase it with men should never hit women, that empowers women to feel that I can hit you or I can do whatever and you're not supposed to do it back.
Yeah.
You know, if we just stop framing it that way and say nobody should ever hit anybody, that still doesn't eliminate the possibility that you can get hit, but that makes the rule across the board and even.
I'm telling you, as a kid with two sisters, I was always taught you don't hit your sisters, and period.
It pissed me off.
Like I said, my dad would have kicked my ass.
It was just me, and it's nothing but women. Yeah. So I've learned those lessons as well, but I've also had to go through the emotions with being hit by my female cousins and my sister, whoever. You never know what the situation is.
It pissed me the fuck off.
Me, because you can't, you're vilified, and you can't defend yourself. I'm not wanting to hit you because I know you're weaker. I want to get you off of me.
Here's the thing. If you just, if a woman just strikes you, punches you, if she wants to get out of the situation or she's angry with you, and she just hits you once or twice, is that really, do you need to defend yourself? I mean, that's another question, right?
That's going into another question.
You could just back up and maybe she's just talking to you, but are you really defending yourself?
There's several degrees, so that goes into another argument, and that stems and opens up tree branches far.
She might have just struck you from pure aggression or anger, but that doesn't mean you have to defend yourself.
What I'm saying is you eliminate
from the equation as a whole. The equation should always be, no one hit anyone, and we don't have any issues.
Right, but on The View, they were talking about whether he had the right to hit her back, and I don't think he does.
No, he didn't have the right to hit her back. She did not have the right to hit him. But I'm not saying that because someone does something that they shouldn't do, that now gives you the right to do something that you shouldn't
walk,
do.
Absolutely. Walk or run away. Just get the fuck out of there.
But, so everybody don't hit. No, but I saw, we don't have to get down to the minutia of, well, is it okay to hit if you've already been hit?
Right.
Or is it okay to hit if you're angry? Or is it okay to hit if... Yeah, just don't hit. I'm just saying, I operate in a... Because I'm a guy, I operate in a world where I have to live with the fear of getting hit. And if I don't want to get hit, I don't put myself in a situation to get hit. And if everybody lived like that,
we would have
it'd be
peace.
A lot less domestic violence. It'd be a lot less domestic violence.
Okay. All
right. So on to something more.
All right. What else do we have?
On to something.
We're talking about Nas and Nicki Minaj yet?
So,
I'm just kidding.
That's where we're going.
No way.
Speaking of hip hop,
get the fuck out of here.
Speaking of hip hop, one of the recurring themes on this show is the top five. So you tell us which one you want to go with. Do you want to go with top five hip hop of all time or top five hip hop of the current generation?
He doesn't know current generation.
I don't know
anything.
So
we gotta go.
I had a child in 2009, and I don't know anything after that.
Can I tell an awkward story before we go into the?
Go ahead. Yeah.
I had to admit to something that was questionable that I did, and I didn't realize it was questionable until after I did it. So, like I said, when I first got here, Stephen was one of those guys that, like, you know, I think went out of his way to try to, you know, make me, you know, feel welcome and befriended. And he would invite me places, and, you know, and we'd go play. I've been on his boat and all kinds of
boats and hoes.
Boats and hoes.
No hoes, just boat. Just a boat.
There were hoes on other boats. I don't know. There were some hoes out there.
I'm not committing to
the fact that Steven owns a boat
tell you anything about
it. His nationality is.
Michael Jordan owns a fucking yacht. Get the fuck out of here. I'm not Michael Jordan, by the way.
But anyway.
FYI.
So, yeah.
Shocker.
So, I really considered, you know, Steven a good friend, and... I knew he was like a hip hop head, and he was into. Well,
I know some stuff.
You know some stuff. We share a common favorite artist, or one of our favorite artists.
You
we share
underestimated me. Let's put it that way.
Okay. So so for his birthday, 1 year, I made him a mixtape, and it wasn't until I'm telling the story now that I realized like how suspect that was. It was quite suspect, and
it's pretty suspect, Jared.
It's pretty suspect, and it's not until this very moment
he's trying to spawn a bromance.
So you haven't made me a mixtape. You've made several playlists and said, Rich, you might like this playlist, and posted a playlist.
I like to share music.
It's up to me to decide whether or not I want to listen to that playlist, but you haven't said, I made this for you.
No, he burned me a CD.
I burned the CD, and I wrote on it with a Sharpie.
That's a commitment.
That's an emotional investment.
It was mad suspect.
That's an emotional investment. Do you still have that album?
I do. I do. It's in my Jeep right now.
Look at this bromance going on over here.
He was trying.
Bro DiMaggio over there.
Not sure why he moved here, actually. I was like, was he trying to come after me?
Might have been.
Stephen's an attractive man.
Let's not go that far.
He's got like a
get the fuck out of here. Stop talking, please. You're gonna kill people.
What's the guy from Dallas Buyers Club?
Oh.
He's got a Matthew McConaughey kind of thing.
Me, yow, yow, yow.
He's gonna roll a booger in a little while this week.
All right, so top five.
Top five.
If you can't think of five, you can go past
top five
that.
Hip-hop artists?
Hip-hop. We're talking about...
Of all time. Because I can't do current.
Rule.
I can't do current. I don't know anything after 2009.
It doesn't matter. It's your top five.
New rule, and I'm calling this the Caesar rule because he did it. Groups are not allowed to be listed as one person.
Yeah, because Caesar, I can't do that. He named all groups. He's talking about UGK and Outkast.
First of all, UGK, where the fuck do they fall on that list? Zero.
I personally wouldn't put UGK in the top of motherfucking anything.
I would put Bun B up there. Maybe in my top UGK 25.
But didn't UGK do the Big Pimpin' with Jay-Z? That's what I thought. See, that's how much I fucking know. Is that impressive? That's pretty impressive, actually.
You're giving away your ethnicity to like every state.
I mean, if you got to go past five, you can go past. So who would your top be, though? Like, if you had to, if you had to pick somebody and you feel like these people are absolutely relevant, music cannot go on without
them. We're just talking hip-hop, though. We're not talking music.
Hip-hop.
Okay, hip-hop. We can do all genres. We're not going to know
anybody that he says.
You do rock music, too, don't you?
Okay, I don't know all those groups. Lose us.
I mean, yes. I know a few rock groups.
I've tried to play that drinking game with you guys. It doesn't work.
I'm a savant when it comes to music. Jay-Z's number one, 1A. Nas is number 1A. There's really a tie. 1 and 2 is Jay-Z and Nas.
See,
and
I thought we were cool until this very moment. Yeah, but
Nas?
But see, I can understand that because you can go back and forth and battle with Jay-Z and Nas.
That's exactly right.
All day. The
discographies don't match. The discographies don't match.
They both have bangers that I can totally appreciate.
Yep. Nas,
I will say that
Richard's right.
Jay-Z has some shit. Like if right now, this moment today, you go back and play any Jay-Z album, I honestly believe that he totally embodied the era that he was in.
Yes.
And somehow still is ahead of his time.
But Nas' stuff is a little... Because he's saying
some shit that's timeless.
But Nas' stuff is a little harder.
Yeah.
And it kind of just reels you in for some reason.
The discographies don't match. Nas has made too many mistakes.
Jay-Z's very corporate commercial hip-hop.
Jay-Z doesn't make mistakes.
He doesn't Nas make makes mistakes. A lot of mistakes. But Nas' stuff is more... I'm going to say this.
More street? Is that what you're going to say?
More, it is, but it is though. If you think about it, Jay-Z is more of telling this fantasy life, this story that he, you know, this life that he lived. But he's broadcasting it to the masses, which are people like my ethnicity, and we don't really understand. But Nas is more talking towards a different group of people. That's just the way it is.
I don't know. Like, what is it?
Number three is Notorious B.I.G.
Okay, all right.
I mean, it's
more really, street than either one of them.
Way more street. I don't think anybody would ever argue with. So are you so? Question. Mm-hmm. You said number three, so therefore are you abandoning...
1, 2, and 3 are like fucking tied for first, honest to God. I mean, they're all bring something different, but they're all right,
so bad, because top of the game. I don't think anybody will ever argue Nas, Biggie, or Jay-Z, except for maybe Flame. So outside of Nas, Biggie, and Jay-Z, who do you put in your list?
Number four, I'm going to have to go with Mace. I'm just kidding. That's bullshit.
Because I was about to say,
I'm gonna say no, I can't do groups. I can only do
You can do the individuals in the group.
Start all over. Caveat. Outside of Nas, Jay-Z, and Biggie, tough. Because therefore they're always going to be at the top. Top five outside of Nas, Jay-Z, and Biggie. To see who you would
that's a hard one.
Who you would actually put the Beastie Boys in there as a whole.
I think the Beastie Boys, though, did transcend a certain time and group of people, though.
Who's the best
suburbia.
Beastie Boy?
I'm sorry?
Who's the best Beastie Boy?
They all bring different things to the group, don't they?
It's always a better... Like, I don't care what anybody says.
Adam Yauch was like one of the... You know, he was a very technical rapper, rhymer, whatever you want to call it.
Mike I D. love Outkast, but Three Stacks is my nigga.
Three Stacks is better. I like UGK, but Bun B is better.
UGK. You guys are just way above me at this point. Or way below me.
I like Naughty by Nature, but Tretch is better.
Okay.
I can agree with that.
I like A Tribe Called Quest. Q-Tip is the best.
Q-Tip spit some shit. Q-Tip spit some shit religiously.
I like Lords of the New School, but motherfucking Busta Rhymes.
Yeah, but see, Tribe Called Quest wouldn't be anything without... I'm sorry, opposite. Q-Tip wouldn't be anything without Tribe Called Quest. He wouldn't. If he was on his own coming up, there was no way.
Mm. All right.
He broke into it with a tribe. I mean, there's no way.
But he was the standout. It was Q-Tip.
He had a couple of good songs.
It's like when you went to see the Bulls in the 90s. It was always Michael Jordan and the Bulls.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair. LL Cool J. I mean, what do you think? Late 80s. He was the king.
I'm not a lady, so I don't love Cool James.
He was good, though. He had so many fucking hits.
See, I fucks with LL Cool J.
He had a lot of hits. I don't know
that he would... I can put LL Cool J absolutely in a timeless top 20. I don't know that LL Cool J would be in a top 5 for me.
Okay.
LL Cool J for the time, like for that time, like I
for that era. Yeah.
For that era he was
number 1.
But he didn't like he stayed in the if he would have retired that he would have just like I think Biggie had that opportunity. This is probably the worst statement I could ever make. Like Biggie died, so he didn't have to like continue and try to compete with the stuff that came after him. LL had to compete with what came after him, and he tried to, and I don't think he did so successfully.
Okay. So that's Wu-Tang or Method Man?
I think Method is still like...
Method stands alone.
She stands alone.
Need Wu-Tang.
Well, you know, but there are a lot of them like that. Like, to me, Raekwon has become...
Yeah, he's more underground, though. He's a little different. He's more...
Raekwon and Ghostface.
It's pretty unique.
You know, and even like, you know, and GZA has carved out his own... GZA and RZA have carved out their own...
With a name like GZA, how can you not carve out anything? Just carve it out, baby.
That's your risk. I have controversial opinions about hip-hop. All right, okay. So we went... We lost your list at some point. We lost the list.
It's okay.
LL.
I put the list out there. If you don't want to listen, that's up to you.
I want to listen.
Okay. Anybody but Eminem. I'm not an Eminem fan. I know that probably will strike you as fucking odd, but I think he's awful.
Yeah, it's like the show is over right now. Like,
cut the
really?
Mics off.
Eminem? No, M?
Nah, I'm just
you
not a fan.
You can't... You wouldn't add M.
Is it a content thing?
I think he's a bullshit artist, really. Honest to God.
Oh, shit. Is it a rap?
I think he is.
Skill thing, or is it just a content? Like you don't.
He just rhymes to rhyme words together. He doesn't really have much experience. I'm sorry.
No substance in his.
No, bullshit. All
right. I mean, I'll give you that.
Okay.
I think there were records where he was just rhyming for the sake of rhyming.
Just rhyming for the sake of putting words together that because they rhymed. Trying to dazzle people with his speed and his rhyming. That's all he really did.
But he did.
And he was a novelty. He was a white guy in the black man's world. I mean, that's just the way it was.
As a guy who was like big into rap and loved rap and did not like the idea of a white rapper, when I first heard My Name Is, like it just immediately changed my life. Like, I had never heard anybody rhyme like that before.
I'm not saying he's terrible. I'm not a fan of
it. It was a moment. Like, you know, like I put that up there like the first time I heard The Roots. Like, it was just a moment.
The Roots. There you go. All right.
It was a moment. I can't get that back. That's what I want. I want those moments again. Like, there are no, I don't, maybe I've just gotten old and, you know, the music doesn't touch me the way it used to.
I don't know anybody on the radio anymore. I know nobody.
Everybody's little something. Little, yeah. I think
Justin
if your name,
Bieber's one,
with the
Justin
exception
Bieber?
Of Lil Wayne, if your name begins with Lil, you're trash to start out with. Like, I'm not going to make it. And that includes Bow Wow. Putting it out there.
Wait a minute. He took the Lil away from his name, though. He's just Bow Wow now. He's a big boy.
You can try.
How old is
you
he?
You can try to take it away.
How old is Bow Wow?
How old is Shad? I don't know. Who knows how old Shad Moss
28?
Is?
28?
25? Is he older than that now?
I don't think so.
Is he 38? Is he my age?
No, he's not 38.
Okay. Whoa.
Nobody's 38.
Oh, shit. That's a problem.
I don't know.
All right, what's your next topic? Give me what you got. And I'll pick the worst hip-hop artist of all time.
Man. Did you even do a four?
I did a five. I think so.
I think we lost it somewhere in there. We just started arguing with him about
it. You guys beat up my first three, and so I threw LL out there, and you lambasted that shit. And I threw Wu-Tang, and then you told me that GZA was the greatest of all time.
Wu-Tang as a group, nobody can disrespect Wu-Tang. I just wish they hadn't done this whole $2 million album that nobody else can hear.
We're all a product of our times, right? So when I was a kid, Wu-Tang, you know, eighth grade, high school, they were big. They were coming up.
How does Wu-Tang infiltrate Connecticut?
Where did they form? Staten Island.
Okay.
You realize that's only like an hour and a half drive, 2 hour drive. To Connecticut, it's like an hour drive.
Where
I grew up, it's maybe 2 hours.
It's fascinating to me, like the stuff that Wu-Tang rapped
everything,
about.
A lot of the stuff that I listened to when I was at it was from New York. It's East
from
Coast. It was all, at that time, New York-based hip-hop or rap, which was easily sent up the coast, I-95, up into Bridgeport, New Haven, Hartford, Connecticut, up into Boston. I mean, that's just the way it... Right. You gotta understand, like, that whole geography up there, people are so close together.
Like, I mean, I'll admit this about, like, my beginnings into rap. Like, my first CD, I think I told you, my first CD I ever bought was Tevin Campbell. Like, yeah, at the time...
It's not really rap.
It's not rap at all. Like, it's the exact opposite. But, like, at the time, like, when it was, like, Kumo D and Big Daddy Kane, like...
Marley Marl.
Yeah, rapping was about having fun.
One.
Or you rapped about how much of a better rapper you were than somebody was.
Flash.
And then all of a sudden, you know, I think when like the West Coast stuff kicked off, you got into this.
That killed it. The West Coast killed it.
reality rap, and we started rapping about what was going on in the hood. And like, from my perspective, you know, the way I was growing up, I could not relate. Like, I couldn't right. listen to songs about, like, you know, the drug game and like be like, yeah, I saw that down the street last yeah. week. So it didn't touch
DC
it.
DC was a pretty rough city, though.
But I was a pretty sheltered kid. My mother was a school teacher. Sure. You know, we lived in the burbs. You know, I didn't go through. I think Jay-Z touched me because of his ability as a rapper.
Right.
I said it wasn't the content that I was a fan of. Right. It was like the skill and the persona and you know, and the coolness about him. And that's how some of the other people touched that. It's always interesting to me to hear how, like, I can't imagine that what Wu-Tang was talking about was relevant in Connecticut. What was it about Wu-Tang that made...
Honestly, I was never a big fan of Wu-Tang when I was a kid. It was more later on in life, you know. It's the beats and the upbeat nature of it. I sound extremely white right now, and that's fine because I might be.
Yeah,
I don't know. It's just fun to listen to. It's hard to describe, other than it's fun to listen to if you're working out or if you're running or whatever the hell it is. Well, yeah, I mean, you got to do that. You got to pump out the last fucking rep. You know what I'm talking about.
Do you have you seen that YouTube guy that is still your motherfucking set, dude?
No.
You haven't seen him? I should pull up some of his.
I don't watch YouTube. I'm old.
That's right.
Last minute. And one of the topics that Jared really wanted to dig into was basically about fatherhood. And it was so basically what the note says is, so you're a dad. Fatherhood in early stages. Like, what are your thoughts? And it's basically every time we have a dad on the show, they're trying to get some.
Is he just trying to get personal advice? Yeah, is that what he's trying to do to me?
Some advice or guidance or seeing if I guess your experiences are lining up to his experiences, what to expect going forward, or you know what I mean? So it's like little stuff like that. I'm currently not a dad. I've helped raise. Uh-huh. Several of my little nieces and nephews, but it's not the same because the emotional investment and connection is also not the same.
Yeah, I think part of it's also, you know, providing financially and emotionally for the kids.
And knowing you can't leave.
Can be a challenge. Well, and I would never want to leave my kids, you know. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think most of us, it's kind of innate, you know. It's one of those things that just comes to us naturally.
Mm-hmm.
You have offspring, you have kids, and you just want to provide for them no matter what, whether that's emotionally or financially. For me, it was natural, you know. I had my first son in about, 8.5 years ago almost. And
so
I just
in
wanted
your 30s?
To, yeah, mm-hmm. I'm 38 this year. And I had my second son about a year, 14 months after that. Like I said before, I was in it from the start. I was up late at night changing diapers, doing late night feedings, rocking them to bed. And part of that was my circumstance, my situation at the time. But also, I wanted to be a part of that.
Yeah.
There was no reason. I mean, there's no reason not to be a part of that. Yeah. Well, I don't know if it's commendable when you're a parent and you spawn another human. That's your responsibility.
So I say that to say this. Number one, it's expected because it's what you should do.
It's not expected of guys, though.
But so that's why that's where I'm getting to. It's expected because that's what you should do as a parent. You bring this child into this world, and it is now your responsibility to do any and everything to take care of that child.
Right.
With that being said, even though it's expected, to a certain extent, people give more leeway to men because they feel like men are not going to do these things. Right. Men tend to shy away, and they don't do these things.
Right.
Men tend to walk away, therefore they're not involved in these things. So therefore, that brings me full circle back to the Father's Day issue as a whole. It's something that you should be doing because you're a parent. You should want to be in your child's life.
You put your wee-wee inside of a woman and a baby came out 9-10 months later, whatever the gestation period is.
So because you did all of that and now you're at the point where you have a child, not only should it be expected, I feel like it should be rewarded and it should be recognized, not because of you being a parent and you're doing what you're supposed to be doing in the first place, but because if more men realized what it takes to be a father and the joys of being a father and the joys of fatherhood in and of itself, more men would make the active decision to stick around and be a father. I feel like they're vilified so much that they don't give it a second thought.
It depends. I mean, they're vilified based on, you know, cultural norms and race and all that stuff, but the culture.
So how do we combat that? How do we change?
We eliminate. The cultural norms? Let's eliminate both holidays.
How do we?
You're a parent. That's just your job. That's just your requirement. You do it.
And so, but so how do we do this? So you're a father. It's your job to be a father. You've been in your kid's life from day one.
Yeah.
You know all of the joys from seeing them talk for the first time, walk for the first time, all of their ups and downs. You know those joys, and you can appreciate that.
Sure.
How do we take your, I guess, understanding and translate it into another father? That father that decides that he doesn't know if he's good enough or he, for some reason, ran away. How do we make him realize, listen, you're walking away right now,
I don't think
but
you
this
can.
Is what you're missing out on?
I don't think you can. I think
I feel like...
Like I said earlier, it goes back to parenting. You had a good mother who taught you a lot of things.
It's people,
likewise
it's
on your
people
side.
People out there that had good mothers and good fathers that still walk away.
Yeah, well, because I guess I haven't
you can
seen
walk
that.
You can walk away because you're scared. You can walk away because you don't know better. You can walk away because you're a dick and an asshole.
I think
you can walk away for any number of reasons.
I think that's the part about teaching manhood. Like, you know, I was afraid to have a kid for a long time because of the situation with my dad, and I felt like I didn't know how to be a father. I had no example.
It's natural, though,
to pull, you know, that from. But someone once said to me that, you know, while you may not have an example of what to do, you have an excellent example of what not to do.
So question for the both of you.
Stay away from that.
If you are now giving an example of what to do and you know what not to do, don't you think that's just as important to be able to teach to your fellow man so that way they can gain that lesson? For instance, I didn't have my father
there. Hang
on,
I've got two kids. I don't have time for that. I'm sorry.
I think the lesson is to me is that it's just a man lesson because something is hard.
Ooh, a man lesson. This could be a segment on your show.
Man
lesson. Man lesson number one.
Because I think we're losing a little bit of masculinity and what being a man is these days. Mm-hmm. But I think one of the biggest things is just because something is hard is not a reason not to do it. That's not an excuse not
exactly.
to do it.
Exactly right.
And you don't think that you being right here. Me, I'm not a father yet, so I can, for instance, this is never going to happen, but I could be that father where I now have a child and I'm completely scared and I don't know what to do, and my first thought would be to run the other way. However, I have a positive influence in my life, and Jared, who was equally as scared and who was able to step up, I have a positive influence in my life, who was Steven, who knew that being a father was the most important job in the world, and therefore he does what he does for his kids every day. You don't think that hearing you two guys' stories can now strengthen my resolve and say, even though, Richard, you're scared, other men are scared, this is what you have to do in spite of that fear?
Sure, I think so.
What I would suggest to any new parent, though,
is you take the labels of mothers and fathers out. We're all just parents. Doesn't matter if you're a mom or a dad.
Regardless if you're a mom or dad.
You care for your child.
But it still falls in line of the same thing, regardless of whether you're putting a label on it or not. Seeing you as a parent, not just as a dad, but as a parent now, using your vernacular, don't you think that would still strengthen another person's resolve? Well, if Steven
is able... As long as they don't see gender, yes.
Yeah, if Steven can step up, he's doing what he has to do, you know, he's right. It's not about being a good dad. It's not about being a good mom. But as a parent, you now owe responsibility to this child. And, you know, this was the example that I've been shown. Even if it's not the example I was shown as a child, as now a grown person, a human being, and a parent, this is now the example set before me. I need to model myself after that because this is what I've been shown and this is learned.
You know, part of it to what Jared said is based on your past experiences, it could be either good or bad. And sometimes the bad teaches you how to be good, right? And there's an opposite effect there. My father was, you know, the typical 1950s, 60s dad who was working on the house, not really with, you know, tending to the kids or raising the kids. And my mom was a very good caretaker. But I think I learned through some things that he did as a parent, how not to act towards your kids and vice versa. But I just think putting gender into the equation is damaging for a lot of people, you know?
Yeah, I think everybody just needs to learn that life is scary and life is hard. And if being afraid of something or seeing something as difficult is going to be your reason not to do it, then you're going to miss out on everything.
Right.
You know,
sure.
This podcast was scary. This podcast is hard work. But if I chose that as the excuses to not do it, then there's a ton of good stuff I would have missed on. Parenting is the same thing.
Yeah.
You know,
I just want jobs my kids to be good people. Thing. I mean, you just want your kids to be good people. You're responsible for them now. You're responsible to help them grow and to evolve into adults. It's really no simpler than that. It's just an innate thing inside of us that we just have.
Yeah, I think once you're in it, you're just in it. Like, you're not making decisions and...
You're just in it. But it takes good people to raise good kids. And some people who have kids just don't care and don't... But that's okay, too. Maybe they shouldn't have had a kid or knocked somebody up or had a child or gotten pregnant or followed through with the pregnancy, but...
You know, what do you think?
I think most of us out there just want to be good people. She's...
We can do this all day, Daddy.
That's right.
No, yeah, I just, you know, I was scared. And I do hope, and that's part of the reason for me doing this podcast. I just talk about stuff as honestly as I possibly can, even if sometimes it seems crass or with not much tact. But this is just how I honestly feel about things. And if maybe there's someone else that has the same worries or fears or scares and, you know, scares. Or
fairs and scares.
Fairs and scares.
Fairs and squares. Oh, wait, hang on. That's not fairs and scares. Okay.
And they hear it. And they get, I mean, I don't know. Like, there's just so many things that if you're always afraid to do it or you always look at it as something that's hard and that's your reason to sit out, you're just going to miss
out
on
anything. You're never going to accomplish anything.
Anything, yeah. Not just being a dad, not just...
Sure.
Just nothing. It's going to be a sucky
life. A very deep topic.
Very deep.
Almost
I
as,
don't
almost
even know
as
what
deep,
the topic was. I just walked
almost
in.
As deep as sweaty balls.
You like talking about
I sweaty like talking
balls.
About Pete's sweaty balls.
Pete's sweaty balls.
Sweaty balls.
Good times. Good times.
Yeah, this is an appropriate conversation for 18
months. No, we're just talking about fatherhood as a whole.
No, it's, yeah, yeah.
No, fatherhood's good. Fatherhood's hard. It can be fun, but it's mostly hard. It's mostly hard.
Is the moment Tammy told me she was pregnant, like, yeah, it was a fear.
As a man, you feel like everything's on your shoulders. You've got to go to work and provide. You've got to pay the bills.
Yeah, all of a sudden, that job you've been going to every day,
it
seems that much more because you can't lose it now. Like,
there's people relying on you, and you can't fuck up, period. So, but that's right. I thrive under pressure. I don't know about you. I just feel like you put more on me, and I'll do the best I can.
Figure it out.
Figure it out.
Put another 45 on there, Jared. That's Steven at the gym.
Yeah. Shit, that's right.
Add another plate.
I mean, you could. You just have to, you know, try.
It's still your sit.
So Jared keeps talking about it. How much are you benching?
Me?
Yeah.
Right now? I mean, I haven't lifted in like 6 weeks. I don't know. When I was 6 weeks ago, I was at my peak. I was probably benching 245 for six reps.
I was
probably maxing at like 265.
That's
one rep max.
That's pretty good.
Yeah. I mean, look at me. I'm not that big.
Yeah.
But I can throw it up. No. Well, at the top, you go, you got to reach down deep and do the
I'm just saying, I've been to Steven.
You got to power through it.
I've been to the gym with Steven. And I think the one time, he never, it was always, you could lift more than that. And I think the one time
that's
he,
the way I approach myself though when I lift, that's the problem.
Yeah,
I shouldn't.
You gotta go
here.
For your.
I
mat.
Think when
you
he finally
keep going higher.
But the problem was is that the thing that made him stop once was when I almost dropped the weight on my face. It's like that's what I had to do to prove that I can't lift this.
Yeah.
I had to like give it. My muscle had to fail.
You sacrifice your face for
yeah,
this.
My muscle had to fail, and the weight almost hit me in the face. For Steven to be like, maybe that'll
okay,
maybe that
yeah.
was too.
As you get older, the goal is to maintain. You know?
Yeah, exactly. I don't care. I don't want to gain any. Because then you get bigger, then you got to buy a whole new wardrobe. I don't want to buy anything new.
Steven doesn't buy. He just squeezes into the same.
I squeeze into my smediums, and and you know, I do the best I can.
Do you have to lube up to get in your clothes, Steven?
I put a little layer of Vaseline on the body every once in a while. Slap that shirt on.
These are the questions I have.
Really? For me?
For Steve. I'm glad we finally got to the stuff that I wanted to talk about.
Ooh,
was,
sassy.
Yeah. I feel like, you know, he probably has, like,
is
Vaseline
really,
and
is
nipples
really
to get some of
the pants, sassy pants society? Or is it the
sassy
white sassy pants society?
I mean,
why is it the white pants? Why isn't it the black pants?
Let's do it. All right. So, the original concept of the show was...
did you wear white pants together one day?
No. Yeah. Somebody wore white pants.
Did you guys do an inaugural show where you're both wearing white pants? And if you weren't, why weren't you doing that? It feels like that should be more appropriate than
it
anything.
It should. We should wear more white. Jared is actually against white
pants. I'm against
pants
white
pants.
I'm completely
white 100%
pants against white pants.
Mentioned wear white pants. White shorts is another story, but white pants are out of bounds. Richard's not on the same page.
You guys would hate my closet.
Well, you're a fashionista.
I'm not against white pants. I don't know.
Yeah, I'm not.
I got holes in my pants. I'm not against that either.
Yeah.
Yeah. Until
pink shoes and a pink hat.
But they were like strategically placed holes that were
right. You know, they were pre-holed.
Yeah. Pre-fabricated holes.
Pre-ripped. You probably paid $500 for those.
Until
jeans.
Like
not for this.
Until like 5 years ago, I only saw like five colors. It's like blue, black, white, gray. Brown, gray.
Yeah. You're a guy.
Yeah,
I'm a guy.
That's my word.
I'm saying Richard's not a guy. I'm just saying you've got a fashion sense that's a little bit higher echelon than ours.
I have a pretty extensive color palette in my closet.
All right.
It's just that. Yeah, I think we all have like if you get into a conversation to me about rap, like I'm gonna get far more intricate than most people. I'm gonna see more in a verse and a bar than a lot of people see. Mm-hmm. I may look at 16 bars of rap the way you look at a closet. You know, mm-hmm. I see it a lot different. That's just,
right.
But that's what's important to me versus what may be important to somebody else. That's okay. My passion. My passion is not clothes.
Yeah, so that's one of my things. I happen to be passionate about clothing and shoes and sneakers and technology as a whole, as a matter of fact. So I'm that guy.
You guys are both tech nerds. I'm not.
I'm not so much a nerd anymore.
Really?
I'm pretty surface these days.
When it comes to tech stuff or IT stuff or gadgets, I've got zero skills.
I need you to get another.
This is the best
another
I've got.
Email account, man.
I've got a fucking Galaxy S5, and I don't really care. You know, it does the job, but you guys would probably laugh at this. You probably get laughing inside about this fucking phone.
I mean, I'm still on my iPhone 6, and it's killing me.
Oh well, there you go. So
it's
you're a little behind the times too.
Yeah, it's
I'm straight. I'm S8 out here. I'm cutting edge.
Ooh, he's on the game.
Get on my level. Mm-hmm. They're just status symbols at this point.
Use the restroom. Is that okay?
Yeah, go ahead and use the restroom.
Okay. Shh.
Steven's going to the restroom.
Steven's sweaty balls need to... Okay, never mind.
All right, we're going to pause this right here, and we'll see you next episode. Be the light. Peace.